Thursdays where we talk about community and home. And we are talking about real estate issues this morning. And no better person to talk about that than Joe Hayden from Joe Hayden Realtor. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Just fine, Kristen. Yourself?
I'm good. How have things been? Has it been, things have been kind of picking up, or what's business been like for you all?
Well, things have definitely been picking up. It's actually turning into an interesting time because of the fact, you know, I think a lot of people have been in a situation where they're used to the market being a little bit slower and homes staying on the market for a longer
yes.
period of time. But it is literally, over the last several weeks, even all the way back to the beginning of this year, picked up significantly year over year, and just, you know, the general perception and feel of it as well has changed.
Yeah. So
is it
you know, people probably felt like as a buyer they had, hey, they could look at this house, they would have time to think about it. You know, it might stay on the market. The time on the market for a house was maybe a little longer than it used to be. And are you seeing those trends change? Are things that are good, you know, a good purchase is going quicker than it used to? Are you seeing
absolutely
that? Okay.
Yes, and really it brings up a lot of interesting points because people, I think, over the last several years have been conditioned by, you know, the news media and their experience in the market to you know, you can take your time, you can come
right.
back to home multiple times, etc. I mean, we've had in the past 2 weeks, I would say we've had a minimum of five contracts that have turned into multiple offer situations where some of them had as many as three or five offers involved. And in fact, we just got another multiple offer on a home we have this morning. So it's when you've got a nice home in a good location, in good condition, they are literally being pounced on by buyers at this point in time.
Okay. Yes.
And,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. It's it really is just something where I think people, you know, I'm not saying to rush and you know, pull the trigger and do something without doing your due diligence, but be aware that there's been a lot of pent-up buyer demand, and with the continued interest rates staying so low, I think a lot of those buyers, especially with the weather have been so nice this year, have been out and looking and making moves earlier than they may have typically in a year, and it's it is definitely showing up in what we see in the market.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I mean, it's encouraging in some ways, but it just tells you that it's important to kind of work with somebody that understands kind of the conditions of the market, because it's changing in a way that's it's a great thing. That mm-hmm. that's a lot of encouragement to people who need to sell a place or want to sell or need to move to a bigger home, or they want to downsize, or whatever, you know, transitions people are making. I think a lot of people sat on it for a little while, and if you have a house that's in good condition and a good location, you're probably in a much better shape to do something where you're than you were maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
You are in a position, a good location, good condition. You stand a very good chance at this point in time of being a competitor in the market, and where the seller would have been at the mercy of the buyer over the last several years, especially in some locations, you're going to be in a situation where you've got just as much control as you had in any good market from a seller perspective. So it really just it's going to be a period of transition. I could see it coming where the buyer is going to have to become educated about the market in a different way, and the seller as well is going to have to change a little bit, because we're so used to it being another direction, a negative direction, that when you see these kind of things start to happen, that it is very positive, of course, but it also can cause people to make, you know, potentially some of the same mistakes that we made before that got us into the problems we got into to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a while for people's perceptions to change once the market is turned like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So one of the things we were going to talk about today that I think is interesting is still a lot of people ask about foreclosures and short sales, and using that as a way to purchase home for themselves or maybe potentially for an investment property. And I'm sure that you get a lot of calls, since you do work a lot with buyers, about, can I find a good deal that's a short sale or a foreclosure? You know, I'm sure you get that question all the time, right?
We absolutely do. And a lot of, again, that's driven by media. That's driven by what people see on TV, books that are promoted, et cetera. In certain situations, any of those type of purchases, a short sale or foreclosure, could potentially be a good purchase and a good deal. But it's been my experience, in most situations, you have to be very, very, very careful because the fact it is a distressed sale, and there's a reason it became a distressed sale, and you want to make sure that that reason is not something that's going to cause you significant problem in the future.
Yeah, so what is, has that market, the foreclosure and short sale market, has that stayed pretty steady? Is it decreasing? What have you seen as far as just kind of, you know, the size of that market and how has it changed here locally?
Well, what I've seen is actually conflicting statistics, because what happens is, with especially with markets like that, you end up with what they call shadow inventory, inventory that's waiting to come on the market, but has not come on the market yet for whatever reason. It's either tied up in a bank's you know, loss mitigation department. It's tied up with attorneys, with a court system in some way, shape, or form. So where it might steadily come on the market over years, month to month, you might not be able to tell exactly how many properties might appear. But there are a lot of, I think you'd say, evidence or clues that the foreclosure and short sale market are going to continue to actually grow the area over the next several years. And will still remain a factor for people who are selling and buying properties who are not short sales or foreclosures as well.
Yeah, and so, and we're going to, I'm sidebarring here a little bit, but on the short sale side, are you still working with sellers that are trying to work with their banks to negotiate a short sale where the bank is going to take some kind of loss? And has that become easier? I know that there's been different rules and regulations. They've tried to make this more consumer friendly. And when we had the initial downturn back in, like, you know, and this started in like maybe 07, 08, it was very difficult to work with the bank and try to make that happen. Have you seen that change at all?
Yes and no. One thing that has happened, especially in this area, and I'm assuming that it's happened in other areas as well, is that people are beginning to take advantage of services offered by some local title companies where they actually work, for example, the short sale for you. And there's other companies as well in the area that will handle them. And that's been a really great thing on many levels to me. One, a lot of times you've got somebody who's consistently working the file, who's experienced with working with loss mitigation departments, the negotiators, the processors, the entire process. And they speak the same language. And as well, because they're detached from a direct relationship with the parties in the transaction, I think there's just a little bit more of an ability to set up some camaraderie back and forth and work together to get the transaction to closing, as opposed to it being potentially contentious if people are upset or frustrated. So that has been extremely beneficial, I think, in the area, and I think a lot of people are beginning to take advantage of it, something a lot of people I don't even think were aware of.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't realize that was a possibility, is to get a title company to do the negotiating for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an advantage because you have an attorney working that on your behalf?
Well, normally, and I can't speak for the title companies 100% on how they're doing it, but it normally seems like they've got a paralegal person that's actually the on-the-ground person doing the work on a regular basis, overseen by an attorney. And if need be, if the attorney has to step in to get involved in the negotiations and communicate with the lender or their loss mitigation department, they will. And that has been very, very helpful on many levels for us in particular, and I'm pretty sure it's helped out a lot of other agents, buyers, and sellers in town as well.
Yeah, so that's just some really good advice that you have there, because if you're having to deal with a short sale, working with your realtor to have the realtor recommend somebody to maybe talked to about having a title company represent you in that in that matter would make it probably streamline a little bit, and they kind of have the bandwidth and the expertise to hopefully negotiate that for the buyer or the seller, right, on either side.
Right.
Okay.
It's normally more on the seller side.
Okay.
And they're paying a fee of some sorts, either at closing or out of pocket.
Okay.
To hire their services.
Okay.
So that's how that works. So if you are selling and going to do a short sale, you may want to ask your agent if they have an affiliation or if they can establish an affiliation with a company that would provide that, and just check out what those benefits may be to you. That could be very beneficial.
So for those who are on the buyer side that are looking at foreclosures and short sales as a potential purchase, do you see more of that when it comes to buying a house as that's your main resident, your primary residency, or do you see it more on the investment side from the buyer's market?
That's a good question. I would say a majority of the calls we get related to those type of properties are people that are looking for owner-occupied homes.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I think that's because of the fact that a short sale is not necessarily going to be in an investor's best interest in a lot of ways, and a lot of that revolves around the time frame for acquisition and the uncertainties involved. And of course, you've got to run your calculations pretty precisely to make property investing work. On the foreclosure side, any savvy investor can go down to the sheriff's office. And the commissioner's sale there, and go ahead and get involved in the actual commissioner's sale. And that way, you know, if you've done your due diligence on the properties, you can attempt to purchase a property for a price that's going to be satisfactory to you. And that is not something that your average home buyer is going to get involved with.
Right. Yeah.
It's not easy. And there's a lot of uncertainty, and you've got to make a lot of commitment that day, actually at the sale, that, you make a mistake down there, it can cost you a lot of money. So I don't find that a lot of typical home buyers are comfortable with that process and or educated enough about that process to get in there. So therefore, that's why we're seeing those type of buyers as opposed to investor-type buyers who actually get involved in the sale.
Yeah. So let's say like you're interested in purchasing a foreclosure or a short sale. I wanted to talk about some of the risk factors, and I think since we got to take a commercial break, Joe, I think we'll take a break and then we'll talk about those risk factors that you want people to be aware of when we come back.
That sounds perfect, Chris.
Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Talk 1570 on WNDA.
It's Real Life with Kristen. Send Kristen an email, kristen@newstalk1570.com. Real Life with Kristen Riddick. We'll be right back after this on News Talk 1570 WNDA.
From the WHAS 11 newsroom, I'm Rachel Platt. A meeting tonight in Sellersburg to help determine where 1,200 students from Henryville will finish the remainder of the school year. Their school destroyed in Friday's tornado. The building housed elementary, middle, and high schoolers. Those students could attend class in modular makeshift classrooms or be transferred to other schools with open space. A cordon man is helping tornado victims reconnect with some of their keepsakes that were blown away. Chase Horton has created a Facebook page called Returning Memories to Tornado Victims. Chase has already had some luck. The Louisville Cardinals took on Seton Hall in the Big East tournament last night at Madison Square Garden. Peyton Siva led the Cards with 14 points. The Cards win at 61-55. The Cards take on Marquette tonight. And the Hoosiers open play this afternoon at 1:55 in the Big Ten. They face Penn State. The Wildcats play tomorrow. New research from the University of Louisville is showing kidney transplant patients can live without taking dozens of daily anti-rejection pills. That's if they're injected with the stem cells of their donor. Today, by the way, is World Kidney Day. And a rainy Thursday on tap for Kentuckiana, up to 1 to 2 inches of rain possibly by this evening. Tonight, clearing and cooler with a low of 37. That's your news update from WHAS 11.
Our freedoms, our values. values, the heart of our nation, are all at risk. That's why Let Liberty Ring with Brian Wickens and Mike Beck is different than anything else on the radio. We want you to do more than listen. We want you to participate and become a part of the solution. Tune in, be informed, share your thoughts, and get engaged. Together, we will let liberty ring from our own backyards to our nation's capital and places in between. Join Let Liberty Ring at our new time from 11 to noon on News Talk 1570 WNDA.
Hi, this is Pastor Grant Bales from Emmaus Road Church, inviting you to join us every Sunday at 9:30 on 1570 WNDA for Grace from Emmaus. The scripture says that God has demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'd love to talk to you about this kind of love, this love he has for us. And I hope you can join us this and every Sunday morning at 9:30 on 1570 WNDA.
This sports season, give your friends and family a reason to cheer. Serve them Honey Baked Ham of New Albany. Sure, there are cheap imitators out there, but there's no denying the taste and quality of Honey Baked Ham and turkey. And it's not just for holidays anymore. Visit your New Albany Honey Baked Ham store. I-265 to Grant Line Road, just behind Main Source Bank at 3602 Northgate Court, Suite 23. Or reserve your game time party pack at 941-9426. Honey Baked Ham, New Albany.
News Talk. This is News Talk 1570 WNDA.
Welcome back. You're listening to Real Life. I'm your host, Kristen Riddick. Thanks for joining me today. It is Community and Home Day. It's Thankful Thursdays. We talk about community and home. We're talking about real estate issues this morning. And everybody thinks that there's a lot of great deals out there potentially to find a home that has been foreclosed on or is a short sale. But with me to talk about this morning and some of the risk factors that are associated with that is Joe Hayden from joehaydenrealtor.com. And he is right over here off of Hurstbourne Lane in the Louisville area. And I think there is a perception that this is like going to be a great deal. And it potentially could be a good deal. But you need to know what you're walking into, right?
Exactly. most of the time, and when I'm working with clients who want to head down the path of foreclosure or short sale, one of the first things I tell them is, you've got to keep in your mind there's a reason this home became a foreclosure or a short sale. And a lot of times it could be a distressed situation with the seller. Sometimes people have just walked away from a home, a job loss, divorce, job transfer. There's a lot of things that can happen to cause somebody to lose a home. But in that process, a lot of times what happens is things like preventative maintenance and basic upkeep and repair stops happening around the time or before they stop making mortgage payments. And what that means is you know, you've got some things that could be in the home that could be potential either expensive and or just time consuming to fix and repair that you have to take into account accurately.
Right. Yeah. So it's not that it might not be a good deal. It could be a good deal, but you have to go into it knowing that there's going to be potentially some areas that you're going to have to look at. And one of those that you kind of mentioned is repair cost. So mm-hmm. If a lot of preventive maintenance hasn't taken place, you could have issues where maybe you have wood that's rotted because the gutters haven't been repaired. You know, maybe they have box gutters that need to be replaced or relined, or you know, there's all sorts of things there. So that's the first thing you talk about, right? Is repair cost?
Yes, cost of repair, and really depending on the situation. You know, you want to do the very best you can prior to putting in an offer to have estimates on repair costs if you're able to. If you're an investor, of course, you're going to have a stable of people that you work with that can give you estimates pretty quickly. But if you're not, then you may have to bring in some handyman, a plumber, electrician, HVAC person, et cetera, and get some reasonable estimates for repairs that you can use in your price calculations, because, you know, you can go in a home and visually observe it and make some guesses, and you could actually be off by, you know, thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in terms of what it's going to cost you to repair. And that, of course, can take what you thought was a good deal and turn it into, the famous money pit.
Right. The movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do remember that movie because I have a historical home. My husband and I laugh about that movie every once in a while. So, yeah. So
you're able to laugh about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we always have something that needs to be fixed on an old home. So we understand that. And we did actually, our house was a duplex, like that house was on the show, on that movie. Mm-hmm. And when we first bought the house, it was set up as a duplex. We didn't have any of the, we didn't have a horror story like that movie did, where they had just the worst renter in the universe that complicated matters for them. But we did have a couple of, issues with one person who wasn't supposed to have any pets, and I think thought she was like the rescuer, like from the zoo or something. And so when she moved out, we discovered that she had like 7 different animals, including like a pigeon and, all this other stuff going on. And then we had this other lady that was elderly lady that seemed like the best of both. She's just so sweet and everything. We said no smoker and all that. Well, she was a chain smoker, So we had to basically kick the old lady out. That was terrible. That was a terrible situation. So, there are all sorts of crazy stuff can happen when you're buying in a property that, especially when you're buying in a historical property where there's a lot of issues that you have to be aware of, a lot more maintenance issues. So repair cost is one thing. If you can assess that up front so that you can put in a more accurate offer at the beginning, that will help with negotiations.
Exactly.
The other thing that comes into play here, and I have experienced this firsthand when I've done some real estate, is time delays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that can be significant sometimes for folks.
They can be foreclosures, maybe not so much, because in many ways a foreclosure is, especially
yes.
if it's back on the MLS system, it's listed by an agent, is probably going to be a very normal sale in a lot of ways from a buyer's perspective. Normal time frames to close, not much delay, possibly just a little delay in getting responses from the bank themselves, but as far as being able to close in, say, 30 to 45 days, that's very realistic with a typical foreclosure that you would find that's being listed back by an agent. Short sale is a whole different ball game because short sales involve negotiating with the lender, and it's a detached negotiation. It's handled usually by a specialized department within the lender's business and company, usually called the loss mitigation department. And they are going to be working with the seller of the home, assessing their financial situation, attempting to determine whether or not a short sale is right for the particular home, given the market, given the financial situation with the seller. And that process usually doesn't start in earnest until you get an actual accepted offer on the property. So it could take literally 60, 90, 120 days, 180 days, and sometimes more to work through that process with a short sale. And that definitely brings up some considerations for a
yes.
home buyer.
Yeah. I mean, those kind of extended delays also means that home is just still sitting there also
mm-hmm.
and deteriorating potentially if there's already issues. Right.
It's possible that there's a renter in it. It's possible that the people who own it still live in it but are no longer taking care of it. It's possible that it's vacant and could be vandalized. There's a lot of things when it sits there. And I think something as well to really keep in mind from a buyer perspective is when you look at a mortgage terms, typically you're given what would be called like a 30-day rate lock or
right.
45 or 60-day rate lock to close on your loan and receive the terms that you were quoted. Well, if you're looking at wonderful interest rates today and you end up in a transaction that takes 6 months to close, there's a possibility that the interest rates could go up. Your terms could be worse than you're expecting. You might not be able to qualify for the same type of mortgage 6 months from now that you are today, depending on the situation. There's a lot of factors that will change in that time period, and so it becomes a risk factor as you wait as a buyer that you have to weigh that into your consideration in terms of pricing and what you're willing to do, because things can change in that time period outside of your control.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think people want to know, kind of the history of the house, and if you're in a foreclosure or short sale, you may not have the kind of history and information that you would from somebody else that's a seller, where they find, look, they fill out the disclosures and tell you, yeah, we had a leak in the basement 3 years ago, but this is how we fixed it. Or, you know, we replaced the electrical panel in, you know, 05 or whatever it is. You're not going to have a lot of that. Depending on, you may or may not, just depending on where the status of the house is.
That is very true. It is very possible that the direct disclosure from someone who has experience in the home would not be available or would potentially not be complete. And that goes back to what we were discussing before of how critical it is when you're especially estimating repairs and condition, doing your inspections, bringing in all of the necessary inspectors and people to verify and confirm condition of the property, because you are not going to be able to benefit from the experience of somebody who's lived in the home. You literally have to, like a detective,
right,
determine what condition the home is in and how it got in that condition and what that means for future costs for you.
Yeah. So so overall, short sales and foreclosures potentially could be a good deal, right? But a lot of risk factors to go over with, and really, really important to work closely with your realtor and make sure you assess all that, hopefully prior to even putting in an offer if you can, but being sure that you, during the time you're allotted, which is the beauty of actually the system, is that it is really very buyer-centric. When you have this time that's out there to be able to do all kinds of investigative work, like you said, to be kind of the detective on this home, and you've really got to be a detective when it comes to doing the foreclosures and short sales.
Yes. Yes, it always, as a buyer, it always ultimately falls on your shoulders to do your due diligence, and you ultimately always take responsibility when you sign on the dotted line to purchase that property. It's yours, you know, all faults included. So you have to be extremely careful and make sure that you've got people around you that you can trust, inspectors you're comfortable with, agents that you're comfortable with, and the various other parties you get involved, because you're going to be relying on their advice and guidance. And like I said, that a small mistake can manifest into thousands of dollars of additional cost, and so that that team basically you're going to be working with is going to be people that you want to make sure are very good at what they do and are going to tell it to you straight, not sugarcoat anything, because you need that information to make your decisions.
That's right. All right, we've been talking to Joe Hayden today. You can go out and find him at joehaydenrealtor.com. You can go out to his website, which I totally love. He's got all sorts of resources out there, community info, and you can do a property search out there. So if you're interested in kind of checking out what's on the market, you can check it out and do a search or look at it by community. Thanks, as always, Joe, for being with me today. I really enjoy the conversation.
You're welcome, Chris, and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit when it comes to real estate, and we're going to talk a little bit on the financing side. What questions should you be asking your lender when you're trying to make a decision on a loan, whether you're buying or refinancing? We'll find out when we talk to Bob Schmucke from Home Lending Source when we come back.
It's Real Life with Kristen. Send Kristen an email, kristen@newstalk1570.com. Real Life with Kristen Riddick. We'll be right back after this on News Talk 1570 WNDA.
Pediatric Associates of Southern.